Amen. We want to thank you for your giving. I've got two things I need to share. One that I was just made aware of by Brother Tommy that he didn't know about Sister Juanita's passing. And I was thinking we announced it at church, but I forgot. I had to use, because we were in sabbatical, I had to use our mass calling. So we do need to double check and make sure people know what number that is coming from and make sure your number's in that so that you can get some of those information when we are not able to say it face-to-face. And so in the next coming weeks, we'll make sure that everybody who wants to get those calls are on the list and can get it and receive it, because it is important. Sometimes we can't tell you things right away and we have to use something else. And so that's important. But secondly, I do need to say this. And so I've got at least four testimonies recently of things that God has done. And we haven't, they came and told me personally, but we haven't been able to tell other people. And so we do talk about the negative things we go through. But let me say this. Somebody who belongs to this church and is a giver received $1,500. So grateful for them. If you were able to see my sister's post, when we went on family vacation, she had no idea that her boyfriend was going to propose to her. And so she got proposed to and engaged. Another person just randomly told me, we were talking about something, that someone had left them $10,000. $10,000. And I can't think of the other one, but I got to thinking, you know, a lot of times we talk about what isn't happening and we keep saying God is going to do, but sometimes we forget to tell that God has been doing some stuff. And he's been working some stuff out. And if it hasn't happened to you yet, just know you're next. You're in line. You're in line. And so just know it's coming. It's coming down the pipe. And so I do want you to know we're not just futilely saying that God is blessing us. He is doing something. But sometimes we market the bad stuff sometimes more than we market the good stuff. So it's time to let them know that God is moving. Amen. All right, let us get our Bibles in our hands. And I didn't say 10, I said 10,000. Amen. All right. Somebody say it with me. Say, this is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
I am what it says I am.
I am what it says I am.
I can do what it says I can do.
I can do what it says I can do.
I will have what it says I will have.
I will have what it says I will have.
All right. I'm a part of Deliverance Temple.
I'm a part of Deliverance Temple.
Where we love. By living our vision every day. Let me close my eyes so you know I have it memorized and don't know that I don't think I'm looking off of the paper or the side. Let me close my eyes and say it. We connect with our Creator continually.
We connect with our Creator continually.
We confess our deliverance consistently.
We confess our deliverance consistently.
We commit to serve creatively. Which all leads to us communicating Christ's love compassionately. Father God, feed me your word. Now go ahead and put your hands together. Make some noise like you believe you're going to be fed this morning. So you may not have known it, so I'll go ahead and tell you. We are in a series, and we've been in a series. I just haven't told you yet. It's called the Finding Series. And so the first message was finding freedom. The second message happened on Father's Day, and it was finding fathers. And so now to show us where we're going, and we're going to stay in this just a little while, Luke 18:8, and this is the B clause of the version. We'll come back and pick up the whole verse later, but let's read this. I'll read it first. It says, nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? And so this is talking about the second coming of Christ. And when he comes, there's one thing he's looking for, and it is faith. So having said that, I'll let you know where we're going. So go ahead and bring it up. Today's message is this, finding faith. So we've talked about finding freedom, finding fathers, and now we're talking about finding faith. Let me make it clear to you, if you don't understand and have not recognized it, you need faith to function in this day and age. This is an age that there are so many things happening so rapidly, not just bad things, but just things in general. Sometimes they're bad things, but sometimes they're just things. Things that you have to do, things that you have to get done, things that interrupt what you're trying to do. Let me give you an example. We went on family vacation, something we've been doing ever since our father passed, and it started off just me and my sister, then it expanded to all of the siblings and mom, and so it's something that we've been trying to do, and so we're trying to expand ourselves, expand our territory, so we decided we were going to hire a private chef. It's going to cost more than normal, but we're trying to do it up big. It's mother's 50th anniversary. My sister is going to get engaged and didn't know it, so we're going to try to do it up big. And so we got this Airbnb. We get there to the Airbnb, and the stove is cracked and messed up. Now, here we are trying to do something, trying to hire a chef, and we don't even have a working stove. From an Airbnb that called themselves luxury. How are you luxury and your stove is jacked up? So I reached out to them and they were like, there's a part coming, but you can still cook on it. And so the first day the chef comes to cook on it, the stove literally starts falling apart. And so I won't go into any more detail, but we're trying to do something nice, and now I got to deal with something else. So for the rest of the trip, I've got to deal with Airbnb and try to get some money back, some refund, because this ain't what y'all sold me. This ain't what the pictures was like. And so now we're enjoying ourselves, but now I'm trying to deal with stuff. You can go to the store just to buy basic stuff, and the person who's supposed to be helping you have such a nasty attitude, it messes up your attitude. Yeah. I came in happy. I came in to buy stuff, and now you acting like what's your order? What you mean? It's your job to take my order. And so just dealing with life will cause you to have to need faith. When we say that we're communicating Christ's love compassionately, to walk in love, it takes faith. Because folk will get on your nerves. Stuff will get on your nerves. Life will be frustrated. And guess what? If it ain't even humans, guess what? The mosquitoes will bother you. They'll bite you all upside your head. You like, just stuff will just happen to try to mess up your day. So you have to learn how to remain in faith. But it's hard to remain in faith if you don't know where to find faith. Amen. So let's put this up. Where is faith found? So what we're going to do, we're going to talk. I'm going to discuss where faith is found. But I'm going to do it in a different way. And I have more things that I can share about trying to rest on the sabbatical. Seems like every time I try to purposely take a sabbatical, something pops up, some negativity. But you have to operate in faith, because here's the thing. It's obvious you're going in the right direction if the devil's always trying to challenge you. So you have to just have faith. Guess what? Any good thing you do, the devil's going to try to challenge you. Sister Jossie just had a wedding, which is a beautiful thing, but there were challenges all the way through it. Anytime you try to do something good, whether you have a promotion on your job, whether you go to college or not. Let me give you another example. I was just talking to my family because I'm in school and I'm working through school, and I realized because of all we've got going on, I'm going to have to do 2 weeks worth of school in 1 week. And so I did everything I needed to do before we left and got on vacation, which means I had to buckle down and do a whole bunch. And I have 100% in the class. And so I'm nailing it. I'm knocking it out of the park. And so I was talking to my family, and I was like, it's going to be rough trying to get back. And I got one more paper to write. And I've calculated if I skip this paper, I still will end up with a 95% in the class. So I'm thinking about maybe not doing this, because I got a lot going on and I don't really want to do the paper. But I've always told my kids, do more than enough. Do extra, so you should do it. So I said, I'm still going to write the paper even though I really don't want to, and I don't need to get an A. However, when I got home and I was going through my grades, my last paper I wrote, I got a 0%. So now it's not an option whether I need to write this other paper. And here's what happened. It was none of my work that was done on the title. There was something that's supposed to be added on the title page that if it's not added, the professor says, I'm not going to grade nothing else. So he didn't check none of my work, but because that thing wasn't added. But when I looked at my file, it was there. But when it showed up on his file, it wasn't. But I'm in the airport and stuff. And so what I believe happened when I used the internet, the thing dropped off and it didn't make it. And so now I got a zero. Now here I'm working ahead, doing extra so I can have everything taken care of. And it still messes up. That is L-I-F-E. You can do everything right and still get some wrong stuff. So I'm reaching out to the professor like, hold on, what's going on? He's like, I'll let you resubmit it, but you still can't get 100%. It wasn't my fault. I did what I thought I was supposed to do. It didn't work out. What am I going to do, cry about it? No, I'm going to remain in faith. Here's the thing. If you don't remain in faith, this life will be so stressful that you will just Q-U-I-T, you'll quit. But we're too bold to quit at every little thing. I can't quit at every little thing. So Friday, and I didn't mean, my sermon's kind of short, but I guess it's going to be a little longer than what I thought. So just, it was funny. I came home Friday because I got to go to the wedding rehearsal. My whole plan was we come home from the trip, we stay in Fort Wayne, and then we go to the wedding. It's all working out. We even flew from the trip out of Fort Wayne. I'm thinking ahead, but now I have a funeral. We can't do that. I got to come back to Muncie. So I come back to Muncie, do what I'm supposed to do. Friday, I got to go to the rehearsal, knowing I got to come back Saturday for a funeral. And so all I wanted to was some noodles in company to get because I have Uber Eats. I got an extra pass, so I got $15 worth where I can get me and Dylan something to eat, and it's not going to cost me what it would cost me. But right after that, I'm taking off and I'm heading to Fort Wayne for the rehearsal. And so I go there, I get what I'm supposed to get, and I come back home, and then Dylan comes down the stairs and says, Daddy, are you all right? Because I was yelling. Why was you yelling? Because everything that was supposed to be in the package wasn't there. It wasn't that big of a deal, but I ordered two Rice Krispie Treats, and their Rice Krispie Treats are $3.75 a piece. And when I got home, and the reason why I go pick it up, because it's cheaper to pick it up than to have them deliver. So I go pick it up, and I come back, and it's not in the bag. And so I just scream because I'm sick of life sometimes. Rice Krispie Treats ain't that big of a deal, but sometimes it's one straw that will break the camel's back. So Dylan came down and was like, brother, are you okay? Well, I just had a moment. Then I went back out there and went and got my stuff. And then when I got my stuff, I said, how about you give me a drink too for my trouble? And they just handed me a drink. But it's not a big deal. It's because we are faith people. The devil is always trying to throw salt in the game.
Yeah.
So you got to figure out how to find faith. I'm getting ahead of myself. So let's dial it back for a second and show you something that happened in the scriptures. Look at Luke 17, 5 through 6.
The apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith.
This is a beautiful thing. The apostles were functioning around Jesus, and the way he moved with such a high level of faith. They asked him a pointed question, increase our faith. Because it seems so easy. God just touched my head and increased my faith. Let's look at his response.
And the Lord said, if you had faith like a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea. And it would obey you.
He didn't answer their question specifically in the way that they wanted him to answer it, but he gave them a principle that was life changing. They're saying, God, increase our faith, and you would think he would touch their head and automatically you have more faith. But no, he said this. He said, even if you have little faith, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, the way faith works is you use what you got and it grows. It blossoms. And so you don't need God to increase your faith. You got to use the faith you got. So if you're using the faith you got and you are yet being tried, that means faith is actually working even when you can't tell it's working.
Faith is working. Faith is functioning. Faith is moving right now. And I've done this before and I'll do it again. Right now I'm waving my hands, and I'm waving my hands through radio waves, internet waves, even television waves, satellite waves. Just because you can't see it doesn't mean it's not real. But it is happening. All you have to do is tap in. All you got to do is grab a radio right now and you will get a signal, because it's flowing right now, even though you can't see it. Your faith is flowing even when you're frustrated. Yeah. Don't assume that faith has to only be on the high mountaintop times. No, use the little faith you got when you don't have nothing but a Jesus help me. That's enough faith to get you to the next day and get you to the next level and open up the next door. And here's the thing, while God is trying to open up doors, the devil's steadily slamming doors. But once you become a faith person, I don't care how many doors slam in my face, I'm going to get what God says is mine, because what God has for me, it is for me. It will be for me. Can't nobody take it. Can't nobody stop it. Can't nobody block it. I'm going to use the little faith I got, and I'm going to get over the hump. And if you've ever seen a mustard seed, it is a small thing, but it produces. But here's the thing. It has to be planted. It has to be watered. It has to be pruned. Then you got to give it time to let it grow. And a lot of you have a lot more faith than you know, because you can't see it, but it's growing in you. So now I'm going to do the same thing as Jesus did. When I talk about where to find faith, I'm not going to tell you a direct way. I'm going to tell you a principle that shows you how faith is actually built. I'm going to tell you how you find faith in ways that you may not know. In other words, what I'm going to show you is you already have faith based on what's been happening in your life. So this is the way we're going to do it. Put it up. I'm going to get to rolling. We got 3 points, a 1, 2, 3, and 3 corresponding subpoints, which are A, B, C. So I'm going to give you a point one. I'm going to teach for a minute. Then I'm going to give you a point that connects with that point one. And it's going to tie the two together to help you make sense. And by the time you leave here, you're going to know where to find faith. Not just where to find faith. You're going to realize you already got faith. All right. Let's look at point number one. Here's it. Blanket simple statement, and hopefully you catch the alliteration in it. Faith is found in test. If you are being tested, that means you have faith, and your faith will only work in some level as it is being tested. I was just talking about school, and the reason why they give you a test in school is to prove what you have learned. They don't test you for stuff you should not know. They test you for stuff you should have learned. And so you find faith in the test. So if you have been tested, are being tested, or will be tested, it's connected to your faith. And Deliverance Temple, we have short enough been tested, but we have not folded. The reason why we have not folded is because we must have faith. All right, let's look at James 1. 1-3, this is from the New International Version.
James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, greetings.
All right, read what he says here.
Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds.
Ah, he says, consider it pure joy. And, no, you're crazy, James. But James had been through enough. And he begins to understand on the other side of the test is something. And so you got to start on the front side, start considering it joy. Because if I'm being tested, I must have faith. And if I have faith, that faith will be triggered and it will grow. And faith will always produce something in my life. And 9 times out of 10, it is going to be positive and as a benefit. So you got to learn how to consider it pure joy. And we're not saying that you're happy for bad things, but you start finding joy in the little things, even when you're facing bad things, because you know it can't last forever. You understand, just like milk has an expiration date, your trouble and your test has an expiration date, and you'll always come out better than what you went in. The fire is to refine you, is to purify you, is to make you better. Guess what? We would have not known who the three Hebrew boys were had they not went in the fire. And somebody would not know Deliverance Temple. They wouldn't log in. They wouldn't tune in. But we've been through the fire. We've been through the fire. We've been through the flood. And we're coming out. And that's why God is blessing us. And we're not afraid of the blessing. Now, I heard somebody say the other day, you don't need to be humble in this. And let me tell you something. There's some blessings God gonna drop on us that you ain't even got to be humble. You ain't got to try to talk about, oh, this is just my, no, this ain't just my little car. This is my Rolls Royce. This is my private jet. This is my land that I bought. This is my property. This was what God done because of all the tests that I've been in. Consider it pure joy. All right, now let's go read on. This is the reason why.
Because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance.
So actually what happens is the test of the faith, it produces perseverance. It actually makes you better suited for the perseverance. Anybody who is in basketball or football, they have what they call training camp. And in training camp, you run and you do many things. But what they're trying to do, they're trying to make you ready. So once you get in the season, and when the season gets rough, you're already trained because you were tested.
Yeah.
Do you know that when I was playing basketball, they would come in, they would put 5 seconds on the clock. And they would give us the ball. And they would say, you have 5 seconds to score. You have 5 seconds to make a move. You have 5 seconds to get a play. They would diagram something up. That way, if you ever get in the game and there's 5 seconds on the clock, you already have been tested. Yeah. It's not foreign to you. Somebody already tested you, and it built up perseverance. Yeah. Michael Jordan, who I believe is the greatest basketball player of all time, he said he practiced so hard so that when he got in the game, nothing in the game could mount up to what he had practiced and what he had disciplined himself. He put himself through so much that the game was actually easy. And that way, when the game was on the line, he wanted the ball because he had confidence in what he could do, not because of the game, but because of the practice. Basically, baby, because of the test we have been through, there's some stuff I know we will not fold under. If we haven't folded yet, we're not going to fold now. How you going to build another building? I really don't know, but I really don't care, because if he brought us this far, he going to bring us the rest of the way. The God that I serve, he's made me persevere. Reading and moving right along, let's go on to verses 4 through 8.
So let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing.
So let it grow. Let the test come and let it grow. That's why sometimes you need to rest, because things are growing. Do you know when a woman has a baby in her belly, if she's doing too much, they'll put her on bed rest, go somewhere and sit down, because you're trying to produce something. And so sometimes you just got to let it grow. Sometimes you just got to cry it out. You can't talk it out. You can't call everybody. Sometimes you got to pray it out. You got to worship it out. Yeah. Sometimes you tell yourself, I'm tired of crying. I'm tired of going to bed lonely. But one day you won't be. Let me use my sister for an example. When she was going through her rough time, she would call me. Because I work midnight hours, people call me when they can't sleep. She would call me and say, Andre, I'm tired of being lonely. I'm tired of things not working out. I'm tired of the fact that I tried to do things right not to be a single mother. And here I am, a single mother. And I'm listening and saying, God's going to work it out. And she's like, I don't know if God's going to work it out. I don't feel like he cares about me. And I'm just talking. I'm just listening to her. But in the process, something was growing down on the inside of her. And even though she was frustrated, it didn't stop her from becoming a principal. It didn't stop her from growing up. because God was still working. She didn't have exactly what she wanted, but God was still working.
Yes.
And once you realize something is growing in you, you start relaxing. Now, guess what? It's been some years since she gave me them calls because she grew in her faith.
Yes.
She didn't need pastor. She could pray herself. She could go for, not only that, she was counseling other people in similar situations, because once that thing grows in you, what the devil forgot when he tested you, he didn't realize that you was going to bless somebody else in your own test. With the amount of grief we've been under, do you know how we can help grieving people? We can help people who've been through hell and high water. People are going to come and flock to us because we have the answer, because we've been tested. Oh, let me get off of this. I'm going more than what I thought. But some of y'all got a good man, and he done gave you some nice jewelry, but that jewelry ain't never been tested. And you think it's diamonds until they put that tester on it. You think it's good until it turns your neck green. But baby, when you have something that's been tested, oh, it sparkles. See, my wife's ring, I bought it a long, long time ago. We've been married 24 years, so I bought it 25 years ago. But let the light hit it, it'll still shine, because it was tested. It's still the real thing. It ain't 2, 3, 4 carats. It's a little bit less than that, but it's the real thing because it's been tested. She done had soap on it. She done had all kinds of stuff on it. I bet she done had baby throw up on it and change it. She done had all kinds of stuff on it, but because it's the real thing, it still shines.
Yeah.
Do you remember we had with the eclipse, we had a series called Shine? Well, baby, when you've been tested and you're the real thing, nothing can stop your shine. All right, now let's bring it back. So, but even though I'm preaching this, sometimes it still gets a little cloudy. So look at what the next verse says. Read it.
So I read that one. If you need wisdom, ask your generous God and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking.
So in the middle of the test, they say the teacher don't talk during the test. But what people don't understand, we are in an open book test with a teacher that we can talk to. I don't have the answer, and God says, you can talk to me about it. I'm lonely, you can talk to me about it. I'm frustrated, you can talk to me about it. And he won't make you feel bad because you don't have wisdom. Sometimes, even as a pastor, I say, I shouldn't be struggling with this. I should know. I know enough scripture, but right now, this just doesn't hit me, and I don't feel like, listen, the Rice Krispie treats shouldn't have made me scream. I should be spiritual enough, but I had been through enough stuff that I felt like screaming. What else had you been through? Well, when we finally did get back and arrived back in Fort Wayne, guess what? Didn't come back with us. All our bags. Guess whose bag that was all jacked up? My bag. And I had to deal with Delta, but guess what? They sent me a brand new bag. So even when the devil tried to mess with your bag, God got a better bag. That's on the way. That's a tweetable moment. God got a better bag. Yeah, you may have lost your bag, but God got a bigger, better bag. All you got to do is hold on to your faith. And sometimes you got to scream. Sometimes you got to holler. But talk to God, because he has the wisdom that can help you get through it. All right? Look on the next verse.
But when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone.
Uh-oh, read.
Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind.
The problem with some Christians is their faith is not in God alone. Now, I don't mind you taking medicine, but your faith should be in God getting in the medicine. I don't mind you going to your job, but your faith should be God is the one who blessed you with the job. But when you put your faith in everything else, then you cannot be as stable. You can't go through like I go through, because you don't have your anchor secure in faith in God. Everything makes you turn your head around. You got to learn how to be locked in to God. That's why I say whether Joe Biden or Donald Trump gets in, Deliverance Temple's still going to rise to the top, because my hope is not built in them. My hope is set in God. Now, one may make it easier than the other. One may make it harder than the other. But my focus is not them. My focus is God and God alone. We got to get back to church folk who are God and God alone. Yes. Well, I need a little vodka for the stomach ache. Maybe you do, but is your hope in the vodka, or is your hope in God and God alone? Is your hope in the therapist, or is your hope in God and God alone? Here's the thing. I have a therapist, but my hope is not in her. My hope is in God. If the therapist goes, I still got God. I love Devin, but if Devin leaves me, I still got God. I love y'all, but if y'all kick me out of Deliverance Temple, I still got God. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. Read next verse.
Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord.
Well, Pastor, I'm waiting for the Lord to do this and do that. Some folks shouldn't expect nothing from the Lord, because your faith ain't in him all the way. It's in him on Sunday, but it ain't in him the rest of the week. It's in him on the times when you come on Christmas and Easter, it's in him. But it ain't him. Listen, so those people can't expect to get everything from God. So when I say God gonna bless Deliverance Temple, hopefully it's for everybody, but it may not be for everybody. Because everybody may not have their hope in the Lord. But all you got to do to fix it is just switch and put your hope in the Lord. Or here's the thing. Let me tell you this. All you got to do is ask God to help you put your hope in him. Because what he'll do, he'll start removing stuff from your life. Stuff that you didn't even want to let go. God, remove everything that's bothering me. Then all of a sudden your boyfriend walk out your life and you get mad. No, God doing just what you asked. He's removing everything. But once you find out God is all you got, you'll realize God is all you need.
Yeah.
All right. Read the next one. Gotta move on.
Their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything they do.
Oh, the scripture in King James says a double-minded man is unstable in all he does. Now, here's what it says the loyalty is divided between God and the world. I have to say this because I'm a grace preacher and a grace teacher. I don't get caught up in a whole bunch of rules and regulations. And so we're not a church that tells you what you got to wear. We're not a church that tells you where you can go, where you can be. It's one of those churches where you have to figure it out between you and God. And so somebody may say, I feel okay with clubbing. Someone else says they don't. And then people ask you, Andre, what do you think about it? Well, Andre's not their God. God is their God. So I'm not making rules. But here's the thing. The scripture says if your loyalty is divided between God and the world, you become unstable. So here's the thing. Some people say, God's okay with me going here and there. And he may be, but you have a whole lot of instability in your life. Which makes me question your decisions, because maybe your loyalty has been divided. Here's the thing. I'm a grace preacher, but nobody would say that Andre's a worldly preacher, because you can tell that I believe in God for real. You can tell I read the scripture for real. Just don't take my little funny TikToks and think that I don't have a relationship with God. The first stop on our vision statement is we connect with our creator when we feel like it.
Continually.
When I'm sad and mad, I'm still connecting to him, because I don't want my loyalty divided. The world don't have nothing for me. There's some stuff I want in the world, but if I got to trade in God to get it, I don't want it. There's not a house good enough. There's not a car good enough. There's not a vacation good enough. There's not a drink good enough. There's not a drug good enough that make me trade my God for that. Because those things wasn't there for me when I was crying myself to sleep. It was God that stepped in my room and blessed me. And remember, I didn't get saved in a church. I got saved in a dorm room where God came in and rescued me when I was challenging him. I owe him my everything, so my life is not divided. Let me say it even more clear. I can make more money than I make at General Motors, but I refuse to work on Sunday and come in here and try to preach all tired and give y'all the less of me when I should be giving the best of me. But honestly, General Motors would pay me more than y'all pay me. But I'm not doing it for you, and I'm not doing it for GM. I'm doing it because the call of God on my life. And guess what? I ain't missed no meals. I done been where I wanted to go. I done traveled where I wanted to go. I done preached in different continents. Listen, God been good to me. So I would rather go with God. And let me throw this out there. That's why now you're seeing on a global scale, you're seeing pastors failing and falling and have to resign because some people are getting mixed up and their focus has not been God. Their focus has been money. Their focus has been on all kinds of other stuff. But God's going to raise up a people who will trust in him alone. Took more time than I wanted, but I loved every bit of it. So here's the A that goes with point number one. Would you put it up there? Faith is found in test, but it's forged in perseverance. So as you are persevering and going through, your faith is actually becoming stronger and more rooted. And sometimes you have no idea because it hurts so bad. Do you understand that when somebody goes through surgery, the surgery and the recovery hurts, but it's making them better? Brother Will had to have a hip replacement, I believe, and so he had to go through it. Do you understand? The recovery was not easy, but after he recovered, it was better than what he was dealing with before, because sometimes in order for God to heal you, he got to cut you. But when he cuts you, he don't leave you cut. He stays till you get healed and get recovered. But the problem with some of us, we're like the leper. Once we recover, we forget the God that stayed with us while we were down. Broke folk love to serve God till they get some money. Single folk love to worship God till they find a man or till they find a woman. Deliverance Temple, don't be one of those people that you allow the blessing to make you forget the blesser. Amen. All right, now here's another thing. Point number two, it goes right along with it. Point number two is this. Faith is found in tenacity. Here, let me give you a word for a definition for tenacity, not to assume you know what it means. Tenacity is the quality or fact of being very determined, not wishy-washy, very determined. Let's give you a secondary definition. Tenacity is the quality or fact of continuing to exist, persistence. In other words, Satan wanted to take us out, but we're still here. And sometimes you're frustrated because I just feel like I'm just existing. But sometimes just existing is good enough because you're still getting closer to the breakthrough. So sometimes you just got to exist. You just got to persist. You have to persevere. You got to go through. Sometimes you got to put a smile on your face when you want to frown. Stop being such an attention seeker that you frown for everybody. So everybody asks you, what's going on, sister? Are you okay? Sometimes put a smile on your face when everything's going crazy just to show I'm not going out like this. Now you got your real folk that you talk to that you can, but everybody can't handle everything. Some folk, if you told them what you were really going through, they would break down with you. Instead of helping you, it happened to me with one of my first therapists. I'm talking to her, and before the session's over, I'm counseling her. I'm paying you to counsel you. I got to find me somebody else. My mother is dealing with something. They've been dealing with something for a long time, and so she has to deal with basically an individual. I won't get into the full story, but the individual's supposed to be helping her, and she ended up losing her husband. And now she's calling my mother to ask her, how do you go through losing a husband? Now, my mother's supposed to be the client, but because the anointing of God is on her life, she's helping the one who's supposed to be helping her. That's just how our life is. Sometimes you just got to exist and persist. And here's the reason why. It's so many people we are holding up. If we fall, a whole bunch of stuff is going to crash. So we got to keep on going. All right, let's move on. I will say this as we're moving on. That's the problem with a lot of men. The men have so many people holding on to them that if they fall apart, the whole family falls apart. And so a lot of times men are quiet and they're suffering in silence, but you don't have to suffer in silence. Come to Deliverance Temple and get some deliverance so you can stay in the fire. And guess what? Don't complain about it. That's what a real man does. A real man holds things together. Do you understand what a husband means? A husband means the one who, it actually means housebander. Husband is one who holds things together. So suck it up, man. Be a man and do what you need to do. When I say suck it up, don't mean you can't cry. Cry if you have to. Go to therapy if you have to. Take a medicine if you have to. But at the end of the day, stop running out and trying to find another family. No, this is your family. Stay with them and hold this thing together. Woo! I feel like preaching this morning. All right, put it on up there.
One day Jesus told his disciples a story to show that they should always pray and never give up.
All right, this is a long thing, so I'm not going to try not to interrupt it too much, but it's a story. You should always pray and never give up. All right, let's keep on reading.
There was a judge in a certain city. He said, who neither feared God nor cared about people.
So this is a story Jesus is telling us. He's talking about this judge, crazy judge. Read.
A widow of that city came to him repeatedly saying, give me justice in this dispute with my enemy.
Give me justice. Go ahead, read.
The judge ignored her for a while. But finally he said to himself, I don't fear God or care about people.
Read.
But this woman is driving me crazy. I'm going to see that she gets justice because she is wearing me out with her constant requests.
Listen, he said, I don't care about God. I don't care about man, but I'm going to do what she wants done because she won't let me go. She's not taking no for an answer. The problem with some of us, we take no too easily. But this woman kept coming back and kept coming back. And I just in my mind's eye, every time the court opened up, here she is sitting in the back of the courtroom waiting. I got to talk to you when you get done. And he thinking, oh, my goodness. And she wouldn't take no for an answer. I got something that I want. I want it, and I'm going to keep on getting it. Some people think and say, you pray for something one time, and that's all you should need. Well, let me tell you something. Sometimes you got to keep on praying. And maybe you're not consistently asking for it, but maybe you're coming back thanking God for it. God, I know you're going to do it. I don't know when you're going to do it, but I need you to do it. So don't keep taking no for an answer. Keep on praying. Keep praying for your children. Keep praying for your mind. Keep praying for your money. Keep praying for your marriage. Keep praying for your health. Yeah, we just buried somebody with cancer, but keep praying, keep believing, keep hoping. Stop giving up so easy. Stop being a punk. Get up and fight. Now, here's the thing. Now, Jesus explains it for us. Let's go right on into that. Luke 18:6-8.
Then the Lord said, learn a lesson from this unjust judge. Even he rendered a just decision in the end. So don't you think God will surely give justice to his chosen people who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off?
Ooh, will he keep putting them off? This is the context he was saying. He's saying, I'm telling you a story about an unjust judge, but you serve a just, merciful, gracious God. Do you think he's going to keep delaying? Yes, delay is not denial, but sometimes he wants people who will press into the thing with what we call faith. Here's the thing. If you are comfortable on a low level, God will love you on a low level, and he'll never graduate you to a higher level because you're dictating how you want to be. Let me explain it even further. I just went to the ocean. I've used this example before. If I go to the ocean with a Dixie cup, I can't come back and say all the ocean had was a Dixie cup worth of ocean. It wasn't the ocean. It was my capacity to receive.
Amen.
If I go to the ocean with a barrel, I can have a barrel full of the ocean. It's determining on me how much I get. And God is so big and so vast, many times he will bless those who will press into it.
Yes.
If you okay being broke all your life, you'll go to heaven broke all your life. If you okay in the shack, you might stay in the shack. Doesn't mean, no, we're not saying you're less of a Christian because you're in the shack. Maybe you want to be in the shack. But if you're in the shack and you don't want to be in the shack, then you need to press in. And guess what? Once you start pressing in, the devil gonna fight you.
Yeah.
So guess what? Fight back.
Amen.
The scripture says we fight the good fight of faith. Whoo. Didn't want to say this, but I'm gonna try to say it in a way that's not vulgar. But you want a husband. You want a man that's for you. You want a woman that's for you. You're tired of being lonely. So once you start pressing, guess what the devil gonna send? He gonna send everybody that ain't for you your way. Folk that ain't talked to in years gonna be, "Ooh, girl, you look good. Oh boy, you look good." You can't lay down with just any and everybody because you want to have a full-fledged relationship. So guess what? They may look good too, but you might just have to say no. Can't go. Now, I'll take a free meal, but I need you to know up front, we ain't going back to my house. If you want to pay for my meal, that's fine. I'll go to the movie with you. But because of what I'm working on, I'm drawing a line. And guess what? When you draw the line, guess what the devil wants to do? Try to push you over the line. But sometimes you got to fight back. And guess what? Fighting don't always feel good. Because sometimes it ain't them who want to cross the line. It's you who want to cross the line. You went to get a good meal, but he smelled so good across the table. You didn't smell steak. You didn't smell lobster. You've been smelling him for the next 7 days. And sometimes you just got to go and fast and pray. Not because it would make you a bad person, but because you're working on a goal. And devil, you can't just push me around because I want what I want. Let me say this and back off of it. There's nobody who meets their person who really wants to disclose how many people they've been with before their person. So the more you add to before you get to your person, the harder that conversation is going to be once you find your person. So the less you do, the better the conversation is. Let me say it the way the young folks say, body count. The less it is, the better you are. So guess what? You're going to have to fight your flesh and buckle down, not because you're holier than thou, but because you are believing for something. So when you believe for something, you actually work for it. You go for it. I thought I was going to be a preacher, so I started buying suits. Because I thought I was going to be a preacher. Now I don't need a suit because I prepared myself ahead of time. You work for what you want when you really want it. All right, moving right along. Let's hear the last part of that.
I tell you, he will grant justice to them quickly. But when the Son of Man returns, how many will he find on the earth who have faith?
So this is the full verse. We gave you the first part. We gave you the last part of the verse. Here's the full verse. He said what God will do, he will actually respond quickly. Sometimes it feels like God responds late. But God says to those who consistently press, consistently keep coming after me. Don't let nothing stop me. And here's the problem that I have sometimes in Living Simple. I think some of y'all just wait till Sunday morning to hear pastor preaching. That's all you do. That ain't going to get you to get stuff quickly. You're going to have a relationship with him that ain't got nothing to do. I know that's not good grammar, but it ain't got nothing to do with me and my preaching. It's got everything to do with you and your relationship. So you have to press in. Sometimes you got to listen to me and then listen to T.D. Jakes and everybody else's Jakes to get what you need. Sometimes you got to do devotion throughout the week. You got to do whatever you got to do to get what you want. But when you do it, the scripture says God will. He will do it quickly. Now, his quick may be different than your quick, but then what Jesus said, when he comes back, will he find faith on the earth? All right, here's the B that goes with point number two. One final point to go after this. Faith is found in tenacity, but it's fostered with persistence. So it was forged in perseverance, and now it's fostered in persistence. So if you are still persevering and persisting, you got faith. Let's look at the last one, point number three. Faith is found in testimony. So we have test, we have tenacity, and we have testimony. And I've said it to you before, you can't get the testimony without first getting the test. So let's look at 1 John 5, 9 through 11.
We accepted human testimony, but God's testimony is greater because it is the testimony of God, which he has given about his son.
So here's the testimony. Let's read it. Here's the testimony.
Whoever believes in the Son of God accepts this testimony. Whoever does not believe God has made him out to be a liar because they have not believed the testimony God has given about his son.
Honestly, I don't have to give you a bunch of rules and regulations delivering simple Christians because it's simple. Here's a simple testimony. Do you believe that he is the Son of God or not? Do you believe that he came, died for your sins, and rose again? If you really believe it, that is the testimony, and you got to hold on to that. And guess what? Life is going to try to shake it from you because guess what? It could just be a fairy tale. It could be just like Spider-Man and Superman. We reading this stuff. It could be a fairy tale. But there's something on the inside of you that makes you keep coming back to church because God done enough stuff to you that makes you believe this ain't no fairy tale. This is real. So I'm holding on to it. I don't have to see it to hold on to it. But that simplifies everything. Do you believe he's the Son of God? Do you believe he came, he died, he bled, he rose? If you keep believing that and holding on to that, then you will be tested. But your testimony is going to bring you out on the other end. But here's the problem. As we go through life, there's a lot of people who are letting go of that belief. There's people who started with you who no longer believe what you believe. They then got into a bunch of books and they got into a bunch of stuff and a lot of demonic stuff then got in them. And you got people who, here's the thing, when the devil wants to deceive people, he gives them a little bit of truth and a whole bunch of false. And so they hear the truth, see the truth, and got the falsehood, and they get talking all kinds of crazy. I don't mind folk talking about the universe, but the universe didn't bless me and my wife. It was G-O-D. You can call it the universe if you want to, but it was God that created the universe. So while you talking about the universe, I'm going to talk about God because I know who blessed me. I know who rescued me. Believe what you want to believe, but when you don't get the results that I get, don't get mad at me because you believe in crazy stuff. Hold on to the testimony that he is the Son of God. Next verse. This just explains it even better than I can say. Read it.
And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son.
That's as simple as it is. At the end of the day, this is not all we get. We get something on the other side. We have eternal life. We don't even die. We just go to sleep and we wake up in a better place. And so, yes, we buried Mother Juanita, but she didn't really go to the grave. She just went to sleep and she got up on another side. God turned her water into wine. So when you believe the testimony of the Son, it makes all the difference. So let's go on to the back of the book then. Revelation 12:10. Read this.
Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Messiah. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters who accuses them before our God day and night has been hurled down.
This little rascal that we've been dealing with, this devil, this demonic forces, it ain't gonna last forever. And you get to the back and look, he get hurled down. He accused of the devil. Guess what? He doing what he's supposed to do. He's trying to get us off of our square. He's trying to knock us off. We're the king of the hill. He's trying to knock us off the hill. But guess what? When you fall down off the hill, all you got to do is get up and knock him back off and get back on top of the hill. But there's coming a day you won't have to fight him. There's coming a day you won't have to fight the flesh. There's coming a day you won't have to worry about sin and temptation. It's over in the new age. There's coming a day where he will be hurled down. All you got to do is hold on to the testimony. And here's what the scripture says next, verse 11.
They triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death.
King James said to overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And so all you're doing in your life is you're building up a testimony that testifies to the blood of the Lamb. And guess what? You will overcome. Guess what? You can't overcome if you don't have nothing to come over. You got stuff you're going to have to come over, but you're going to overcome. The scripture says we are more than conquerors, because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And when the world wraps up, he going to get tossed down and we going to go up and up. And we're going to come back. Because the scripture says it's a new heaven and a new earth. Oh, I wish I could teach all of that. Listen, we don't even know how good it's going to be. All we heard about, that I'm going to walk around heaven all day, that ain't scriptural. The Bible says there's a new heaven and a new earth. We're going to get to enjoy a whole bunch of stuff if we hold on to the testimony. All right, so here's the C that goes with point three. And as I close with this, because I got some big words, some $5 words to add to you. Faith is found in our testimony and fixed in perpetuity. Let me give you some definitions real quick. Let's put this up. Put the definition of fixed up. Fixed means fastened securely in position. I'm here to let you know that your eternal life is fastened securely in position as long as you just hold on to the testimony. Go on to the next one. Fixed is what? Predetermined and not subject to or able to be changed. Can't nobody take you out of God's hand but you. As long as you hold on to the testimony, I don't care what happens in your life. I don't care how far you've fallen. God's hand can go down there and hold you up. Listen, this fight is fixed. We already win. We just got to get to the end to find out how we win. But the fight is fixed, and can't nobody take God away from you and you away from God. The only thing that can happen is you walk away from him on your own choice. And guess what? When you got enough word in you, when you walk away from him, you find yourself walking right back to him, because ain't nobody better than him. Somebody say, Jesus is the best thing that ever happened to me. But let me give you the definition of perpetuity, and this will help us even more. Perpetuity, go ahead and put that up. It's the last thing. Perpetuity is the state or quality of lasting forever. You are actually eternal right now because of your belief in the Master and his Son. You are eternal right now. And so that's why you have eternal life right now, and you don't really die. You just cross over to another existence because you have eternal life, because it will last forever. Guess what? This relationship you have with God, it lasts forever. Can't nothing break it. It's unbreakable. It's unshakable. It is eternal. You have right now eternal life, because the scripture says if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So inside of you, you are already eternal. We just get to see what it's going to be in the end, which we don't know all it's going to be. But right now, we're already winning right now, and we're going to win some more. But guess what? Whatever we don't get on this side, we get on the other side. So we win all the way. Stand to your feet. We're going to close with a confession, and then we'll go into our communion. So that's how you find faith in your test, in your tenacity, and you find faith in your testimony. So here's our confession. I'm going to read it once by myself, and then we'll do it together. Here's the confession. I'm a part of the DT, and faith will be found in me. Let's say it together. I'm a part of the DT, and faith will be found in me. I'm a part of the DT, and faith will be found in me. All right, let's move right into our communion. Let me tell the devil what that confession means. Devil, that means we still going to win in the end. Do what you want to do. Act how you want to act. We still going to win in the end. Here's our communion. We're going to the first verse, 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 24. This is what it says in the King James Version. It says, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Let's take and let's eat the bread. All right, we're going on to the next verse. After the same manner, also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. This is what we do. We remember him. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Before you drink it, let me say something. I say it all the time, but I've never explained it. When we do this, it says we show his death. But guess what? That's when the devil got defeated. So every time we do this, we're reminding the devil of how and when he lost. So when you drink, drink knowing we are telling the devil, you lost again. Let's toast to that. You lost again, devil. You lost again. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, God, we have faith. And we found the faith that we need, but we know it's been tested. We need tenacity to hold on, and we got to hold on to our testimony. But in the end, we can do nothing but W-I-N, win. And we're going to win, and we're not going to quit, and the devil's not going to wrestle anything away from us. From this point on, this is our winning season, and we declare it in Jesus' name. And let the people say, amen. God bless you all. Have a great, wonderful, and a marvelous week.